Hi, besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag because we are semi-qualified to speak on it.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Cynthia Kiss. Mwah.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens. And we are back. It is the last episode of All Stars 8. It is the finale.
We did it, Joe.
I feel like there's a light, like a weight lifted off of me. I feel lighter. I feel softer. How do you feel?
Do you want to know what it is? Let me break it down for you. These air on Fridays, and we want to get it out as fast as possible because obviously it's kind of like it's current. You can't post an episode too late in the week. So I've just always been finding we're on a Saturday or a Sunday, and that's when my baby boo has time off and I want to hang out with my boyfriend.
So
I'm really looking forward. I'm looking forward to our recordings just being a little more like flexible because we want to put them out so soon. So I realized that today because one more time I sent him up to the bedroom. I was like, go away, I have to record. And I was like, I actually am looking forward to our interviews because we can schedule those different times.
Yes, we schedule them at fun little times. And because of the time differences, we're getting a lot of interviews. Spoiler alert, a lot of the interviews are people in Australia and in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
So the time difference is actually working out great for you because you get to do them early in the morning.
Hell yeah. And literally at any time. Like, we're not bound by this regular programming anymore. And it's just been so fun to connect with new people. We're actually recording an interview after this. It's going to be very fun. It's coming. Mm-hmm. I love them. And at this point, next week is going to be our interview with Miss Fiercelicious. That's the first one we're going to drop, right?
Yes, we haven't announced that yet. So yes, we will be, our next week's SK interview cuties. Is going to be with Miss Fiercelicious.
Exclusive. I want to test the audience, see if any of them like really take the tea and run with it.
Well, I want to make sure
your face is like, don't spoil our promo. You're like so mad.
No, it's great. It's great. I'm not mad at all. It's great. But I was just like, we haven't posted about it. Soft launch. But I think soft launch. I think we should. I want to post a really good like clickbaity clip.
Oh, one. She has that interview, folks. Is
all clickbait.
All clickbait. You're clicking the whole time.
The whole thing. It's just, I remember, just to kind of give you a recap of that interview, I left it sweating.
I have never heard Juicebox request a cigarette before, and after that interview, she needed one.
I was like, I think I need to take up smoking. That was exhausting. It was super fun and hilarious, but it was, you really got to keep up with that girl. She is quick.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It felt like a round of tennis.
It felt like we have a speed round in the interview. It felt like the whole thing was a speed round.
And ironically, when we played speed round, she slowed down a lot because she couldn't think of answers.
Because she had to think.
So stay tuned. It's a really fun episode and we cannot wait to share. But tell me, Juicica, how the hell have you been?
I'm really good. I recently actually received a message in between episodes that I really want to share with you. And with our viewers. Usually we wait to the end of the episode for these, but I so desperately need to share it right at the top in case there's anybody listening. I already told this. I have permission from this person to share it. I told them, I was like, this is incredible. I have to share this. So buckle up. It's a good one. So this is from Anon Muscle Gay.
Wow, hello. Great start.
I know. Great start. Hello. Love you both, but I just got a request that y'all please start doing some research or at the very least hit a Google search once in a while. If y'all don't know answers to things, and then it's like cry face and then like the little sweating face. I find myself screaming at the podcast to try to help and it's becoming weekly occurrence. One of y'all wanted a night of 1,000 Merrills one time and the other said, oh, that's already happened, which it hasn't. And then said... I want a night of 1,000 dollies because it hasn't happened yet, which it literally just happened on All-Star 7 like a month prior, which y'all literally recapped on the pod, so I don't know how you forgot. Then today, Cynthia is spinning this yarn about how 60K came from the fame games coming from the Lost Lip Syncs, and that wasn't the case. 50K was promised. Oh my God, sorry. I think 50K was promised on the first episode, and the only 10K was came from the last Lost Lip Sync episode. Because there was no way to roll the money over for the next week because their competition was over, so they just threw it into the pot. Another example was y'all didn't know that the group voting tie happened in All-Star 6 and that Jessica was on season 2, not season 3. And again, love you both, but it's almost like y'all are recapping completely different shows at least once an episode, because I'm like, what the fuck, dude? These are the basics. And so I responded with, I love this. I'm reading it on the pod. And he said, thank you so much for reacting so well. I was worried you'd be mad. And I wrote, babe, semi-qualified. And he went, oh, I get it.
Semi-qualified.
It's us purposely spreading misinformation sometimes.
Yeah. Like it isn't fact-checked. That's your job, a non-muscle gay. You let us know. This is interactive. This is, you know, this is a conversation. This is a dialogue. Teach us, educate us. And I love that his use of language, spinning this yarn.
Killed me.
Because that, honestly, is me in a nutshell. I just spin yarns, knitting lies, misinformation.
Yeah. But here's my thing. Usually I get a message like that and I react very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
I get mad and I'll like get confrontational because I don't like when people message me unprompted. But I was at a funeral that day.
Speak when spoken to.
Kind of one of those things. Like but I was at a funeral that day. I was super stressed out. I was on the edge. I just didn't know how to react to things. And I got something that just had so much audacity that all I could do was just piss myself laughing.
Just so funny.
It was so funny. So Anon Muscle Gay, I love you.
We love you.
We love you. Thank you so much for being an incredible listener. And thank you so much for keeping me and Cynthia in check.
And I want to let you know from the bottom of my heart, we are going to do our hardest to never research a single thing.
No.
Because then the show would be called Fully Research. Qualified.
And we're semi.
And I don't know how to change those graphics. I rasterized the files. I can't change it now. It's,
you know, I will research interview guests, though. That I will research.
Honey, when we have the person sitting in front of us, I love to deep dive. I just feel like a super, super fan for like 24 hours. Of course, if you have the person in front of you, it's just sometimes there's been so many episodes and seasons that, quite honestly, like once Juice and I kind of entered the Thunderdome and do our own thing now, sometimes you get busy. And like, you know, we actually, a ton of our time is dedicated to putting on, you know, our art form for like future projects and seasons. So it's like, sometimes you just miss the past. But thank you. Thank you, Muscle Anon.
I love you.
Bro. I love you.
So let's move on to the actual episode and see how much of this we can get right. Spoiler alert.
All Stars 9. No, I'm just feverishly opening my notes because of I lost a monitor, SQ cuties.
Oh,
I'm down
no.
to my MacBook right now. I found it. Okay. The finale is here and we're in the workroom with the full cast on the couch. I kind of like this. I like how much airtime the whole cast got in this episode, because with the top two, it's kind of like we've just seen Candy and Jimbo the entire season. So much airtime.
Yeah, so it's nice to be able to see the people who we didn't get to see a lot, like Monica Beverly Hills, Kasha.
Everyone's, you know,
like
there.
Naisha, those like early out people kind of get a little bit more screen time, and we got to see a little bit more of like their comedy and stuff. So that was nice.
And I could tell they were kind of, they were making sure they featured Lala a little bit. Like, I feel like she really got a few beats there where she was being very funny. Speaking, I don't know, I just feel like she chews up the scenery. She's so hilarious, like any moment. Yeah. She's just always just like strutting around, being so physical. So her bantering with Monica was actually very cute, because I feel like Monica Beverly Hills, beside not a soaking clock.
Oh, just
she needed a moment.
Beautiful.
She needed something.
I love that song so much.
Mm-hmm. She's our viral girl, a girly.
Yeah.
So it's cute to see, I don't know, just remembering kind of chunks of the cast that, you know, we didn't get to see as much this season, which is so fun. And then awkwardly the top two also being in that room, able
just
to win.
Like, hey, y'all, how y'all doing?
How y'all doing? I can still win 200, Kai, and you cannot. So what's up? How was craft services for you today? And then Jimbo, I love how Jimbo handles pressure. I want to take a page from that book, because instead of ever being like, you know, butthole clenching, just like really anxious, they're just like, I'm so excited. I'm just
really?
So excited. Yes. If you actually play back that scene, Jimbo is just like happy-go-lucky, like happy to see everybody. If they're nervous, I feel like they hide it extremely well because all I seemed was very happy to be there. Just like,
oh, see, I got the opposite. I got very like stressed out on edge, like laughing to cope with stress, Jimbo.
Is this because you've done a season with them and you kind of know them
well,
a bit better?
I wasn't there very long, so it's not like I saw.
No, but like, you've like seen them more.
Yeah, so maybe that, but like it was, for me, just the energy that I was getting from Jimbo was very much just like, I want this so bad and I am just so desperate to win that all I can do is just be like, you know, that's all I was getting.
I was getting like happy kid in the sandbox for some reason.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I was like very impressed. I personally
and this was when they came back in the workroom after
the talent show, I would guess. Oh God, sorry, Muscle Anon. I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know. So this isn't a new day in the workroom yet. We're not there yet.
No, not yet. This was just like kind of cute to see everyone post talent show. So maybe then Jimbo's still kind of riding the high of like that day being done. Cause you know, it's like a challenge.
Well, that was a relaxing day for both of them.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, they didn't have to do nothing.
But I did love the pause break for the titty and booty bounce. I appreciated that.
Yeah, I did.
Lots of booty and titty bib bounce in this season.
Yeah. But the only difference was that two of them were injectables and the other ones were just plates.
Yes. I know. Isn't that a funny comparison?
It's just like, these ones are actually in my body.
These ones I put in my body. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, these ones are permanent.
These are forever in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, should we dive into the next day? New day in the workroom? Boom. It's a new day. They drank a cup of coffee. They had a smoothie. They walked into the workroom one final time. Even RuPaul has a tone where he's saying to the girls, we finally will crown a queen. Like, he walks in being like, y'all are still here? Okay.
Right. Almost like relieved.
Yeah. We will finally finish this season, essentially, is what they're saying, which is amazing. But it made me chuckle. I had to write it down. I was like, oh my God. Even RuPaul is using the word finally. We find out that the maxi challenge for the week is the top two performing original solo numbers by the talented Leland, which is a really cool challenge. And I'm excited to see what each queen does. I feel like this is up Candy's alley more than Jimbo's when I heard the maxi announced.
Yeah, I almost prefer when they have to write it versus when it's been written for them.
Yeah.
And we'll get to why I was kind of like weird with that choice. But yeah, I was kind of like, oh, why they didn't write it. Like, I like for a finale to be very like beefy with like, if they're going to do a finale with a top two, it's just like make them do a music video, make them do the choreography, make them do a photo shoot, like really fill it up with stupid shit.
Crawl through mud.
Crawl through, you know what? Eat bugs.
Eat a bug. Walk over hot coals.
That's what I want to see.
This is so, top two.
Yeah, I want to see you try to earn this. So yeah, I was kind of just like, meh, but yeah. So then we go right to the Tic Tac lunches. And
yes, our sweet, iconic Tic Tac lunches.
Yes, which Jimbo has, you could tell, Jimbo has been waiting for these things for so long. Because even I remember seeing her on UK, how excited she was to just be around RuPaul and how devastated she was to not be able to get to the finale. So to be able to, for her to have the whole Tic Tac lunch fantasy, you could tell that meant so much to her.
Totally. This is, again, the like kid in a sandbox energy for me. They just, a lot of this episode for Jimbo, they're just very excited, which I think is so inspiring. Like, I don't know. I feel like they just have this joie de vie. There was elements of this that I felt Jimbo was almost unmasking. Sometimes I think we get the masked version of Jimbo where it's, oh, great. And then like sex joke. Whereas for Jimbo to kind of go into their history with their family and how they've shaped their art, like through trauma, I actually really respect it. I felt like it was this one final dimension rounding Jimbo out as a character where I was like, okay, like the artist behind the art. I personally really appreciated it.
And I knew Jimbo didn't drink, but I didn't know it was because of she came from a house of alcoholism.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'll do it. Just be like, nar, I'm all right. So.
Nar.
Nar, I'm all right. No drink for me. Yeah.
So. Would you like a drink?
Nar.
Nar. So I was, yeah, that was really nice to kind of like be able to see as a softer side of Jimbo.
100%. The thing that bothers me about these Tic Tac lunches, the Tic Tacs are placed closer to the camera, actually quite far away from the interview. So the queens never really get a Tic Tac. Like, I remember Jinx Monsoon in her All-Star season actually like walking over and RuPaul kind of to grab one. And Ru almost being like, really? Oh, okay. Like, it's so far out of the way. I would do the exact same thing.
Jimbo's Jimbo mad. Even said later, she said, where's my Tic Tac?
You got to go grab it.
Yeah, I want it. See, my thing is I miss when Ru would be in full drag with the plates.
Yes.
And she would give you a Tic Tac.
Now like, they're so that. Far away. Now they are like across the stage.
They're across the stage, super far away from each other. And it's very like, it's not that it's cold, but it's not as intimate as it was before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but...
So in between Tic Tac lunches, what do we think about the Eliminated Queen's round of pink furry box? Which had essentially turned into a cash prize, like, giveaway?
Roulette. Yeah. It just felt like a roulette of cash prizes. Like, you all get $500, you get $1,000, you get a trip or anywhere around the world. It was, like, fine, and it was, like, I'm happy for them, and it's, like, I'm happy that they were able to... make money. That's great, and it's awesome that the show is showing support to their eliminated queens. Love that, but it kind of just felt like filler.
It was giving me early seasons like Untucked when they would have those little like I don't know like the gold. I have like memories of these kind of challenges where queens would pull out questions in the past. I wish more were actual questions. They just started being like $1,000.
Yeah, I would have preferred if there was more stuff to stir the pot. Like,
yeah,
that was funny. Do you remember a time where one of the queens was rude to you? Or like, yes. Do you need to confront anyone? Like, I would have almost preferred more of that.
Where do you see a queen in 5 years? Honestly,
successful.
Not doing drag. I feel like you peak and you retire.
Yeah, dead. So that's it was fine. It just felt like filler. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with the top two. They have this extra space. I feel like the third beat in this whole episode, like A and B plot was Candy and Jimbo, but C plot was the returning cast.
All the other girls.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like, okay, well, this is the kind of thing with the top two. And maybe production thought about this, where our feedback is always, you know, we don't see enough of certain queens, the early outs, that perhaps this was an approach where they wanted to try building a season where you do see them so much. Like... because with the fame games, that's a whole other reason to still be in the competition. So overall, did you like it? Just while we're talking about it, did you like that approach where you did see the queens kind of overall more than a regular season?
As an early out, I can appreciate it because it's like if that was my situation, I would be like, I love this. Like I've got so much screen time. As a viewer, it kind of felt like a means to an end.
Okay, really?
Yeah, for me as a viewer, it kind of just felt like, okay, like, I guess. Like, it didn't feel like...
there were like any stakes. Again, there weren't enough stakes.
There weren't enough stakes. And I think for me, maybe I'm just jaded. I think that's where I am with just the whole thing. I think I'm just jaded, and I think I can just own that.
Can we get you some water, please?
Yeah, give us some water.
Just give him some water. But I love the dichotomy. You're like, as an early out, I love it.
I can appreciate it. As an early out.
I liked it. I'm going to say on the record that I liked it. Overall, yeah. I appreciated like how each queen, especially that talent show, just one more moment to get each one of them to showcase why they are on like one of the biggest stages in the world, let alone like if not just for drag, but like in general in pop culture. So I loved that. I think overall, I take it if the fame games and the thing would go forward. Now that I fully understand, I just was confused the whole time. I wasn't listening enough, apparently.
Yeah.
Sorry, Anon Muscle Gay.
He's going to be our new shout out.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm trying it on today.
Anon Muscle Gay. I mean, it's such like a perfect, because it could be anyone. We know who it is, but it could be anyone.
Truly.
I know. We love you, Anon Muscle Gay.
I think I'm in love with you.
I should look at his profile and see if there's like, well, he's Anon. There's
well, I was going to say that's the whole idea with anonymity. You don't really know who it is.
But maybe there's like a hole pic or something.
Ew. You don't know what he looks like, but you want to know what his asshole looks like? We are very different.
They're all, it's like snowflakes. They all look a little bit different.
That is actually very true. Okay, but I want to dive into something very different as well. Candy's Tic Tac Lunch.
It didn't feel as intimate as Jimbo's.
Vulnerable.
Yeah, it felt a little bit more, I don't know. It kind of felt like it was a good one. And it was, and it, she had her moments and stuff, and it and felt like she really, really wanted the win, which I can understand and I can appreciate because I love Candy. I'm a Candy fan through and through. But it almost felt like Rue was kind of made her decision already.
Mm-hmm.
You got that?
And then by consolation, she got, you're my favorite drag queen.
Yeah, see, because if I heard that, I'd be like, I lost. That's what I would, my mind
right?
would go.
Because you're getting the consolation prize. Like, you're getting to hear that to kind of band-aid the burn of you're not going to win this.
Yeah, that's where my mind probably would have went in that moment. Like, oh.
Oh, no, in the moment, I'd be so delulu that I'd be like, ah, I'm going to win this, y'all.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm too cynical. I would have been like, oh, I lost.
That's where I like, especially in that kind of heightened situation with adrenaline, I would just be like, ah. Main character energy.
I won.
And then I don't. And I'm like, he said, I'm the favorite drag queen. What?
Yeah.
But we did see some tears. She did get, I feel like she eventually went a bit more authentic with how.
Yeah. Like, no, there was some, and that's what I mean. It's like you could see the want mm-hmm. that she wanted to win because she was able to pull that kind of emotion out and how badly she wanted to be there and how like all the support she has and everything. And so that's where I kind of felt that, but I still kind of felt like the energy I was getting from Rue and Michelle was very much like, we've made our choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly.
So, yeah. But
then we head off to dance rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
Little 5, 6, 7, 8.
Now, did you see the clip of Nasha at Roscoe's giving the tea from the dance rehearsal all the way to the finale lip sync? Did you see that yet?
No. Oh my God. Okay. No, I was on set yesterday.
I'm going to give you the update and I'm going to give the viewers the update if they have not seen it. So what was happening here was Nasha had said this. So this is me just kind of coming off what Nasha had said at Roscoe's. She had said that they were drilling Candy's choreography so hard to kind of get a slip up from her.
Mm.
Right? And then for the finale lip sync, like between the two of them, they changed it last minute to be Milkshake by Khalees because Jimbo had put in at the beginning of the season that was the song that describes her drag the best.
Ooh.
Yeah, so apparently Candy had a meltdown and was saying like, call my mom, get my phone, I'm done. If you're gonna crown Jimbo, but you won't have me, like all these things. So that's what Nasha was saying through Roscoe's and stuff. So just to kind of, that made me, because I saw that before I watched the episode.
Interesting.
So to see it through that eye, and she also had said during the actual like run through of their numbers, they made Candy do it more than Jimbo to kind of get a slip up.
Interesting. But she didn't. Yeah. I feel like she got the whole thing.
So what happened, again, this is what Nasha had said. She had said that she had slipped and hurt her ankle. And then when they asked her about it in the confessional, she was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my God, I love her. So I love her so much.
Yeah, she didn't give them the talking head so they couldn't make a storyline out of it. That's a smart girl.
I did that on the show.
What happened?
The one time when I was in the bottom with Stephanie, the room was prompted to talk about like family, and I could tell they wanted me to talk about my dad being gay. And I said nothing because I was like, if we're going to go into this, it's got to be more than like episode 3. Like I'm staying longer.
Because you wanted to hold on.
I'm holding on to that. Smart. I was like, my storylines will be peppered into this season.
Oh, and there's me giving it all away, episode one.
Give him a little taste. Give him a little taste.
I gave him everything.
You're like, this is me bleeding.
keep bleeding.
But yeah, so Candy, I respect it. I see it. She's like, that ankle, not rolled. I'm good.
I don't know what you're talking about. Absolute props to that girl. So we see the dance rehearsal. Candy is absolutely nailing it. She's crushing every single movement, doing really well. It's making Jimbo a little bit intimidated. But then Jimbo is actually kind of keeping up.
I think that's a little produced.
Me too.
Like, and but there was one point where he was keeping up. It wasn't like bad. But then you've got Kahana, the hype queen, just being like, Jimbo's actually killing it. And I'm like, Kahana, come on. Like, she's not doing that great. Like, I think she's like getting her steps. Her steps are simplified. It was just a funny choice because Candy was doing well. In that moment, they're trying to prop Jimbo up all episodes. So they're being like, Jimbo is also great all of a sudden at choreography. Mm.
Yeah. I get that.
Because I didn't, I felt like they were saying things that I wasn't watching. No shade to Jimbo. I love Jimbo so much. But the dancing, I was like, I don't know.
Well, we have eyes. Like, we can say the truth. Like, it's fine. Like, I love Jimbo, but like, you know, sometimes her dancing isn't the best.
There's so much more to love.
There's so much more to love, and also she's been kind of getting the note on her dancing, and she's been doing great at bars. Like, she's falling into a character versus falling into just, you know.
Oh my God, the reveal into Shirley Temple
kills me every single time.
Iconique.
Every single time.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp is here to help. And coming from somebody who's had a panic attack on national television, BetterHelp helps.
BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you.
Talk to your therapist in a private online environment at your convenience.
There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapist network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area.
You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with the therapist in under 48 hours.
Then you schedule a secure video and phone session. Plus, you can exchange unlimited messages, and everything you share is completely confidential. During the pandemic, I had lost my job and I was feeling really overwhelmed. And Rebecca at BetterHelp was able to actually help me target areas in my life that needed attention and where I needed to work on things. And it actually inspired me to audition for Canada's Drag Race.
And if you don't have a legend like Rebecca, you can request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime.
Join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist.
Special offer to semi-qualified Queens listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/SQQ.
That's betterhelp.com/SQQ. The special URL code will be in the show notes.
Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. So we're back in the workroom, and then we get this random product placement beat with Jimbo using CEO Glow.
Did I sleep through this part?
You must have slept through this, because literally right after rehearsal, we randomly cut to Jimbo. I've never seen a product placement like this where they like are blatantly just like putting it on their hands and being like, wow, product. Uh-huh. And then it was it. That was it. There wasn't even like a joke. It was like,
what was it?
CEO Glow. Are you the never CEO of your Glow? I don't know. We're not sponsored.
Girl, yeah, CEO Glow. But if you want to, halfway through this episode, I'll throw on my CEO Glow.
You're CEO glowing right now.
Oh, thank you so much. You can buy CEO Glow using the code SQQQutie.
Maybe manifest it. It just made me laugh because it was so random. And then don't we head to the main stage? Like, I guess there was a little bit of mirror chat. I'm sorry if I'm glazing great.
No, it was just like, for me, it was just kind of like mirror chat. And I feel like there's so much more important things happening that. Yeah.
It was really the heart to hearts, the girls saying, I love this season with you all. Like, I don't want to leave, even though they obviously do.
Oh my God. Yeah. When she was just like, I want to go home, but I also don't want to leave this place. I'd be like, fuck all of you. Love you. Bye. I'll see you on the group chat. I'm going home.
Exactly. We'll communicate through memes and gifts.
Yeah. We'll say happy birthday once every few months to somebody. Call it a day. Let's go.
Oh, that's sweet that y'all do that. Do you still do that as CDR
one? Yeah, everybody. Yeah. CDR one. Every single birthday, everyone will flood the chat with a happy birthday for the girl.
Wow. Yeah, that's really sweet.
It is not your group chat for sure.
Well, it can't be.
Did you leave?
There is. It's not really active.
Oh. So bold.
Anyhoozle, we have RuPaul walk out in very like Paco Rabanne, rest in peace, rest in power. That designer who's known for that kind of metal chain work. Very, very beautiful. This iteration of it. It must be Zaldi. Looks stunning. There's so much detail to it. I love how it picked up and flared the lens all episode. Yeah. That was really pretty.
And you know how much I love RuPaul in a hoochie.
She's so freaking tall.
A hoochie scoochie skirt on RuPaul, just because I want to know where those sweatpants are. So,
because there was an era where I feel like we never saw RuPaul's legs, and I was always begging for it.
Yeah, now we got those hoochie scoochies.
Yeah, now that they're pumping out seasons, they don't have time to make full-length gowns.
Yeah, and my favorite dancer is there doing ASMR Lover with RuPaul. I can't remember his name, but he's the guy who kind of looks like he has a mustache and the hairy chest. I love him so much.
How do you kind of look like you have a mustache? Like you haven't really grown one?
No, he had a mustache in one of the dance challenges, but this one, the mustache is just like a little shaved down.
Oh, cute.
I can't remember his name, but I started following him on Instagram, and I love him.
Ooh, romance on the podcast.
He's so hot. Anyways.
Michelle's in an adorable sparkle blazer. I love a sparkly blazer moment. And then Carson Kressley. Can we talk about this fully rhinestoned varsity bomber?
Yeah, I think it might be actually by my friend Alex designs a couple of clothes for the hilarious Ross Matthews. Every time he's wearing like a sequin bomber.
Okay.
My friend Alex, I think he's either styles it or makes them.
Cool.
Yeah. And then
I could not stop looking.
It's very pretty. So it kind of looks fully stoned. It looks sort of like that. So I wonder if that's Alex.
It's like density again, 200.
This could be me spreading misinformation. This is just things that I've seen on Instagram from friends. I did not Google it. I just need to give the heads up there.
Semi-qualified,
yeah. What did you think of ASMR Lover?
For starters, I knew this song, like the beat and the melody, but for some reason I'd never heard it announced. I didn't realize the whole lyrics of ASMR, because they obviously did the whole beat.
ASMR Lover.
With the microphones to introduce the number. It was like Michelle Carson, and it was hilarity. We also have some ASMR coming in our interview with Miss Fiercelicious.
So oh my God.
Buckle up. But anyways, so I missed this whole beat. This number, RuPaul numbers at this point. Do we love them? Do we hate them? I respect them.
They're fine.
Right? At this point, I'm just like, you better work, Diva. Like, you better get up there.
You better work, Grandma.
Like, I'm still going to call her mother. Like, it wouldn't be like grandmother. Like, I want to give her mother status. But yeah, it does radiate a little bit. It's a little grandmother coded because she just can't move like too fast. But I love how tall she is, so that someone could literally break dance in front of her and she barely has to like worry about.
She does her sugar and spice bop. Yeah.
She's like, I won't be blocked. Honey, I'm the Eiffel Tower.
ASMR lover.
It's kind of a bop.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to make it to Jimbo and Candy's songs. So here's where I was saying why I didn't really enjoy that they were written for them.
Break it down. Tear it apart.
Jimbo has this whole song about like being born and like family and coming into life. And it's kind of like a little bit more like sort of, I mean, they're both just drag songs. So it's not like they're fully rounded like feeling songs, but it's a little bit more kind of like intimate than Candy's, who's just like, pay me. But I will say I preferred Candy's dancing number and lyrics and everything than Jimbo's. But I still was kind of just like, why did they do that juxtaposition? Why was Jimbo's about being born and then Candy's was just about money? It did make sense to me.
So I think the intention here was like, we're going to write a song to like, that's like the Queen. So for Jimbo, they wanted to do something a little more comedic, a little more off the beaten path. Like I almost want to say poetically strange, but the part that where they lost me is when they rhymed born with corn. Like they did this whole misdirect and I was like, hang on. You had me with the whole remembering you're born. Like I'm going to suspend my disbelief here. Like, okay, you've got me. And then they're like, corn. I was like, fuck off. I don't understand what's going on. This is now I was a little confused at that point because I thought the concept of remembering you're born could have been kooky enough that they could have just done that. But then they're kind of short songs. So they just wanted to throw like a boing.
Boing. Yeah. So just again saying like I just preferred Candies than Jimbo's. Jimbo's was cute, but Candies was like cunt.
Candies was so fun. I like that. I would perform that.
Yeah.
Don't pay me in compliments. Great. Pay me money.
That's what she said. I was just like, I don't know. It gave me very Work the World. It was like her audition for Work the World kind of thing. You know?
Did she get the part?
She got the part.
She got a callback.
She got a callback. She didn't get 200K, but she got a callback. And then we have all the other girls come out and do like a cute little gospel number.
Yeah.
It's cute. Just like a nice kind of like we're back together moment.
Kahana said, I'm taking the riffs. That part of lip sync is mine.
Smart.
Yep. That Kahana, she knows how to get showtime. Airtime.
Yeah, she's smart. She's a smart girl. She went from second out to All Stars 9. Smart girl. You know?
Jimbo's hype queen. She's like, I'll take it. I know that'll get me a talking head.
All Stars 8. All Stars 8.
No. Oh my God. Why? It's because I made the joke at the beginning of the episode. Joke.
Yeah. No,
juice. Oh no. We are two beautiful souls. Okay. So what did we think of this group number overall? Just simple, cute.
It was simple. It was fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, who else did I like? I liked Alexis. That girl. She just lives in her own little world.
She's just her own kind of like biggest cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Should we head to the finale Fabulosity runway?
Oh, yes. This runway. Oh, my goodness. I love finale runways. Every queen is holding on to something special that they've like obviously known they're going to wear as part of this season. Because everyone knows you typically get to like show some sort of finale gown. Let's dive in.
That feels like a regular thing now with all finales is that everyone comes back and you get to show the finale gown. So if there's one thing, if there's a few things that are going to be seen, it's promo, entrance look, and finale, no matter what.
So you make those them good.
Those have got to be your three best looks. If you're going to get on Drag Race, those have to be your three absolute best looks because everyone will see them regardless.
100%.
Unless you're Heidi and you quit and you don't come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I'm sad. I wish she came back for the finale.
But with quitting status, like I almost feel like that's production saying no.
Saying no, you can't come back?
Yeah.
No, I think production would have asked her because it's Heidi. People love Heidi. I have a feeling she might have said no.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Because I think because production wants the faces, you know?
They've made the space. Like they've totally made a season around her. Well, that's true. Yeah. I wonder what she would have worn. Anyways, let's dive in because we've got 11 fabulous queens.
Yeah.
First up, Monica Beverly Hills. I love this color. And the purple hair was cool.
I thought the jewelry is beautiful. The hair was gorgeous. The shoes were great. Her skin looked amazing. The makeup was beautiful. My only complaint, and she did cover this up a lot with her big boa, was the shape of the dress wasn't as shapely as I think it could have been. It was kind of just like hog down, like it
tubular.
Didn't cinch in, a little tubular. Yeah, it didn't cinch in the middle as much as I would have wanted it to. One more fitting, just it in there. But I feel like with the big boa, it kind of didn't really matter because it was covering all that anyway. But there was just one part where you kind of saw it, and I was like, oh, it's a bit big there. So I would have liked it a little, just cinched in a bit more.
Next, we've got Nasha Lopez in a very regal ensemble in this beautiful, like, pastel blue. I loved the silhouette and the concept. I just felt the jacquard fabric. It's almost like a couch. A fancy couch fabric that she used for that volume, it's actually quite heavy. So sometimes when you want something that voluminous, you want to use something that's actually quite lightweight. So when you gather it up, it still billows. And like when you walk, it can almost pick up a little bit of wind. This felt very heavy. It felt like it was being dragged and it's harder to walk in.
I wish she didn't wear the coat.
But the coat was fabulous. Oh, if she did it in organza, you would see. It would have been effortless and she would have been gliding. This was like she's
pink
dragging.
Pink organza. This blue with all this pink is just, for me, it doesn't read well.
I thought it was nice. I just, too heavy.
Yeah, I don't know. For me,
you're like,
it's like,
no, scrap
no,
it.
Snort. It. It's like the patterning clashes with the dress patterning and like the stones. And it's like there's so much pink in the middle and then like blue and almost like a gray. And I'm getting like a bit of a brown sheen that I'm just like, I don't know. It's not my favorite.
Okay. Yeah. Next we have Kasha. Kasha Davis. I just wrote classic Kasha. Black and white.
Simple. It Clean. Doesn't really give me finale. Yeah. It's kind of just like, meh. I don't love it.
I wish you could have glammed it up just like 10%. Like done something just a little more.
A spattering of stones. Yeah. You know? Yeah. A sequin. Anything.
I think there's a little bit of stonework on it, or is there not?
I don't know. It just feels really flat to me. I don't know. It just, for me, it's just a bit boring.
But black and white, it's trending. You know, I'm going to make that black and white Barbie look.
Oh, yes, you will. I cannot wait. Very exciting.
We're putting it on the record. We're putting it on the record.
Putting it out there. Anyways, now we go, we dip our feet into the cool waters of Darien Lake.
Mm.
And she comes out in, it's a jacket. The jacket comes off, and then it's like a dress over a catsuit. And then the dress cape thing comes off, and it's just a straight up green stoned cat suit with a red hair. What'd you think?
I could not stand the final cat suit. The lace placement on in the groin region. It was giving pubic hair.
Yeah.
It was just not to me. I was like, whoa, it was just getting worse. As she was taking it off, it was getting worse because it was just like simplifying, because that's sometimes the thing with reveals. For the finale, I say, wear one thing. One fabulous thing.
Yes. One absolutely breathtaking thing.
Keep it on. Keep it on.
Make them stare at it for 3.5 minutes of you walking so slow.
Because it's that good.
Because it's that good. Yeah. I agree. And that's my thing, is like what's happening with these finale looks is I'm kind of just like, they're feeling a little lackluster. There are some that are breathtaking. I will say there. Oh, some that are coming up are absolutely breathtaking. But I'm finding that the ones that we're seeing, I'm kind of just like, you know, like I didn't really enjoy Darien's. I thought it's great for a show. It's great for like a bar. It's great for like a drag
con.
So
fun for a number. I would be giving them tips. I'd be like, oh my God, three like really strategic reveals. There's just something about this runway that's so elevated. You can take your time. It's like a fashion show.
Yeah. And I was just like, why are we taking clothes off just for a sparkly body or a sparkly catsuit? Like it's the finale, you know?
Yeah.
But if we're talking about beautiful finale, really showcasing something gorgeous, James did that.
Yes. I was so happy to see James looking divine in orange. What a fun color.
Mm-hmm.
Love that kind of neon orange and the size of the headdress, the way it was made. They wore a headdress earlier in the season, that gold one that I believe
the
Aztec one they made themselves. I don't know if this one was by James or if it was outsourced. Either way, the construction just was that much more complicated and it looked amazing.
Mm-hmm. This gave more for me. It actually felt like a finale look.
Mm-hmm. It looked like James robbed Kahana.
Yes, it was very James.
Vegas strip.
Kahana. Yeah, Vegas James. I loved it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, imagine the headache wearing that. Ugh.
Oh, stop. It's worth it. It's worth
yes, it would be worth it.
Pop an
big
aspirin.
Billowing. Pop an Excedrin and shut up, girl. And speaking of, again, of finale looks, Kahana brought a finale look. She did reveal correctly, where I think she came out with something that was still very beautiful. You knew it was going to be a reveal, but it makes you kind of anticipate it. And
here's
all
the
of these sunflowers.
Hmm? It got bigger. It didn't come
yes.
off.
Yes.
That was a reveal
got
that got bigger and sparklier. And it didn't come off. Darian was technically undressing. Kahana was like expanding, which is
just building.
A little more theatrical. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. And the inside was all of those like mirrors and stones. And it's all, and she had a little bit more of a concept with this. It was bones to, and I think she said it was something about her ancestors and like her heart and everything. I thought it was a really beautiful concept. It was slightly crafty, but not in a way where I was mad at it.
I think because we equate, is it the flower type? Was the sunflower giving you craft?
Yeah, I think that was it. A sunflower felt crafty to me, but it just like the yellow just looked so beautiful and the shape and the see-through. I actually didn't notice it was see-through until she turned around.
Of course it's see-through. Kahana's like, let me show my body.
Show my body.
The sunflowers gave me pause. Like I kept being like, do I like them? Do I not like them? And then I saw how she photographed this look in a field. It was, I think the flowers make sense in an environment that's very natural. So overall, I'm going to say I liked it because of the homage to like their heritage, spinning that with a couture take that I don't think we've seen. It felt fresh. So sometimes for me when I was like, do I like those sunflowers? I don't know if I like those sunflowers. You're thinking about the sunflowers. That to me is fashion where you're like, oh, it's making me think.
It's evocative. It gets the people going.
And then I was craving sunflower seeds.
I don't really like sunflower seeds. So then we move on to Lala Ri, who is, I think this is the best she has ever looked.
So beautiful.
Oh my God. The red. And this is, I think, what we were saying is like, come out in something that is so fabulous that you don't need to do anything else.
Yeah. No, keep it on, girl. That maroon, that rouge maroon color on her was just so perfect. That's such a color I want to see her wear all the time. And in a gown. Oh my goodness. Really
the
pretty.
The tight red finger wave that kind of like matched the waves in the bottom of the dress.
One of my human hair units just came in and it's that kind of finger wave in like a blonde.
Ah! Bitch.
It's kind of cute.
Oh my God, I love that. Can I try it on when I see you next week?
Absolutely. Of course. You're going to be, it needs finessing. I'm not going to lie. Because it's on the cheaper end, I think I'm going to stone it around parts of the S to kind of distract from the lack of
some
lace.
Some yucky.
Because it was a cheaper one. Lala's is like full frontal lace. It's like melted. She looks awesome. And it's the same color as the dress. Sometimes I don't love that, but in this case I did. Both her and Monica matched dress to wig. Kind of cool.
Oh, cute. Yeah. So some monochromatic moment.
Trend alert.
Monochromatic. And then we move into, oh my God, this is my favorite dress of the night.
Me too.
Fucking Alexis Michelle. Oh my God.
It's the best
she's
ever looked.
It's striking. Everything about this.
She looked like a cartoon.
It's the shape of her waist, the like swoop. Mm-hmm. There's this piece of fabric that swoops down underneath of her waist that kind of showcases the mermaid coming out of the bottom. Oh my God. And it's like the fabric that she used is incredible.
So structured, fit her, but it was just so well done. It was couture. I love this. This is what we mean by a finale dress. Just showcasing her, that color, that red. I need this dress. I literally saw it with the red hair. It was extra sculptural. There was something about this wig that was like on steroids. It was just breathtaking. Alexis Michelle, if you're listening.
Corseted back.
You the best you've ever looked. She was best dressed that night for me.
Yeah, no. This is the best thing to walk out onto that stage. If she would have made it to the finale.
In the room, including RuPaul.
Including RuPaul. And I think you even see Carson look at Ru and go, oh my God. Like this is... I'm going to be talking about this dress for the rest of my life. Like, I love it.
It's on the permanent mood board. When I want a mermaid gown, I'm going to be like, make me the All-Stars 8 Alexis Michelle, please.
I have actually literally, in my mind, I have been wanting a red gown to just like walk around and collect money in. And now I don't know if I can make one because this is so beautiful. I will forever be comparing it.
We can make that happen.
A red gown? Do you think I would look good in a red gown?
Yes, sweetie.
Thank you.
I think you look great in a red gown.
Thank you.
But yeah, this is the new goat when it comes to red gowns.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking gorgeous.
Thing.
Fucking gorgeous. What did we think of Jessica?
Jessica was great. I love the pink and the purple. It was beautiful. It was giving very finale. it's just for me after Alexis, it's so, know, it would be so hard to come out after Alexis because it's so beautiful that this is gorgeous. There's nothing wrong with it. It's absolutely stunning. But I just saw Alexis's. So I'm just like, everything looks
different. Alexis was couture fashion, like Paris Fashion Week. Yeah. And then next is it just, it was really hard, especially the type of fabrics that they used and everything. It was, mm-hmm. there was no comparing. I know. I thought the same
I know.
Thing.
That's why it's just like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. But I still am thinking about Alexis.
Jessica's just like, my favorite colors are pink and purple.
And purple. And we're like, red.
red. Padam, padam. Padam, but no, Jessica, she did look great. If you forget who you just saw before her.
Yeah, if you can slowly wipe Alexis from your mind, Jessica looked very good. There was nothing wrong with it. It was perfect.
Okay, now I want to know your take on Jimbo. Jimbo comes out next in the runway, and they're giving us kind of a black and white graphic print with hits of yellow and reds. Mm-hmm. I vibed. Did you vibe?
Yeah. Well, it looked like, for me, it looked like old Hollywood movie, like horror movie posters.
Yeah.
With like a little kind of comic book aspect. So for me, it kind of hit all the right notes for like my sort of interest. So I was just like, I thought it was a really cool take on it. I liked that she still did her take on breasts, but mm-hmm. it felt a little bit more nuanced. It felt a little softer. It didn't feel like tits, you know, it just kind of went along with her shape. And the hair was incredible. Her makeup looked beautiful. So I was a big fan of it. I loved it.
I loved the hair. I didn't realize how long it was because the tips were black. And then I saw her turn around and I was like, bitch, that hair keeps going.
Yeah, it looks
gorgeous. Do you think a lot of her sculpted frontals, longer backs, is the back human?
I don't know.
Because sometimes they move in this way where I'm like, they're not getting like too tangled. Like I think sometimes, because I have that one sculpted top and then long piece that I wore for the cover of Shine.
Shine. Is that all human?
It is not.
Shine.
It is Shine. Synthetic in the back and it gets so fucked up. I actually don't perform in it because
there's actually a few girls in Toronto where their sculpted hairs are only humans. Which I'm like, that is brave because that's an investment. And if I'm wearing a human, I'm looking pussy and dancing in it and curling it. But they're like, no, and flipping it. They're like, no, this is a permanent structure made out of human hair. And I'm like, that is brave, bitch. I could never.
So maybe the whole thing is human. I find they look great all the time in the back and it doesn't get that like tangling.
It kind of is giving me human. I don't know. We should ask her. Maybe I'll text her.
Money. I thought she looked great overall.
Now, what did you think of Candy in this Tweety Bird yellow?
Candy, I love you. I didn't like it.
I didn't love it.
There was something going on with the silhouette work at play. I think all components, like the color, love it. The skirt fabric, love it. The sequins, love it. Let's just shift certain shapes around and then I would have loved it. It just, for me, when she put it on, I felt like it made her kind of, I lost her torso or something.
I just felt like everything about Candy has been so fashion and all of her looks have been so couture this season that when I saw this, I was just like, what? Where's the inspiration for this one? What's the draw? Because it kind of felt like, I hate to say this, it felt kind of cheap.
I didn't get it. Still, to me, that's why I gave props to all of the like the components. I think it just needs a silhouette change and then it would start to look expensive.
Yeah, because that's
a secret to design. You can make certain things look so elevated. I bet you the quality of these materials are the same as Alexis Michelle. It's just silhouette.
No, that's not it's what fit. I think I mean it's the way that it was made feels cheap.
The
construction to the top.
So same
of it,
same as my is what I mean. It's like what you can do to take it to that level.
Yeah, because you can see if you look at the top zoomed in, you can see the strap is like pulling on these like pointy pieces at the top, and they're and they're making the shape look funny, and it's like soft at the tip. It's rather than having it like really crisp, it's like kind of soft at the edge. It looks like you could just pull it down.
You want structure.
Yeah, I want structure. The feathers feel like they start too low, where there's like you see the waist and then there's like an inch of fabric and then the feathers. And it's almost like why aren't they a little higher? It just kind of feels like she missed the mark on it, but I will give her props. That hair is growing out of her head.
Yes.
That wig is coming exactly out of her scalp, and the makeup is strikingly beautiful. She looks great.
Trend alert, finger wave.
Finger wave, yeah. But it's just for me, it was kind of like, she spoiled us. She looked beautiful all season long in these incredible couture looks, and then all of a sudden the finale just kind of felt a little like afterthought for me. But do you know what she did do? Every single color of the rainbow this whole season.
I love that. Because did she do a post at the end being like, look, bitch?
No, she said, what color do you think I'm wearing next? And then she put every single heart in the color of the rainbow with like the yellow one missing.
That's so it's Twitter. That's Twitter right there.
That's Twitter. So it's like, oh, she did a rainbow and I really like that. And I think she even did like black and brown. Like she kind of did like the whole brand new kind of pride colors. So I thought that was really nice. But for me, the deluxe pride flag. Yeah. I just kind of felt, I just didn't love this look. But anyways.
That's that. That's our final runways. And then so we get into one more lip sync with our top two. I didn't know this was happening. I don't think they talked about it at the top of the episode. I don't know.
They always do this.
Anon Muscle, let me know. I was surprised for a second because I was like, oh my God, they're doing one more lip sync. Okay. And so they go into it. It's Jimbo and Candy showdown. What did we think? New costumes, of course. They come out in a new look.
New costumes, new look. I don't know. For me, finale lip syncs are just kind of like a means to an end. It's like, well, they know who they're going to crown. This is almost just for entertainment purposes. It's not like someone's going to do such a good job that they're going to be like, oh no, this person's winning the season. That has never happened, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, never it was happened. Candy's win, and then Jimbo comes out with the butt bib as well. And they're like, what?
Yeah. And I would say, and Candy definitely outdanced Jimbo that whole thing. And it was just like, okay, like, and then the same thing with Monet. Monet absolutely annihilated Jinx on the finale of All Stars. And Jinx still won. And even in my season, like Priyanka, Rita, and Scarlett are all lip syncing against each other. Rita's doing great. Priyanka's kind of just spinning in circles because she can't do much in her thing. And Scarlett is
Bobo's amazing.
Bobo is amazing. She's dancing her ass off. And she still lost to Priyanka. So it's just like, it's one of those things where the finale lip sync is just kind of, it feels like it's just sort of like a showcase of who's there. Doesn't feel like it actually means anything.
You're right. But before we announce the winner, we get to find out the queen of all queens from the Fame Games.
Yes.
I was nervous, Juice.
Were you? You went from not caring about the Fame Games to being so invested in the Fame Games.
I'm being a little shit. I wasn't nervous. I'm just being annoying. But, okay. But it was fun to see. I was like, okay, let's see how this goes down. With, as you remember last week with the talent show winners, James and Lala spun a wheel and got extra multiplyings of their fan votes. Lala got 3 times the votes. So kind of by no shock, the Fame Game winner was
Lala
Ri.
Yes.
Because already they're very popular. They're going to get a ton of votes kind of more ahead of the pack already. And then to times it by 3 is like, okay, bam. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. I felt like it was going to be Lala's. Or my thing is I knew it was going to be either Lala's or Jessica. I think that's what I said last episode. Tell me if I'm wrong, besties, but I think I said Lala or Jessica. And so when it went to Lala, I wasn't surprised, but I was happy for her because I really like Lala.
100%. 100%. I feel as though this was so well deserved. She's so cute. Now, do we think they filmed each one of these girls winning the Fame Games?
Kahana said on Twitter to a response to someone that yes, they did. And Kahana had said that she said in the time that this was the best acting she had done on the show.
All season. Aww. Because you have to wonder, like, even Lala's acceptance, like, there's a point there where she's just like, woo, because you've probably heard 6 girls already say something. So in the room, you're like, how do I keep it fresh? How do I, like, I don't know if I'm going to win this. So it felt just very quick because you can't get too sincere after listening to 10 other people, 9 other people say the same thing.
Over and over and over. Yeah. And then we find out our winner of the entire season goes to... Do we have a drum roll sound?
I was going to do the cheering after because I don't have a drum roll.
Oh, sorry. Goes to Jimbo. There we go.
Yay. Oh, Canada. Homeland. Chaos.
It's our home on native land.
Thank you. That was muscle memory. That was years of elementary school.
Yes. Julie Black changed it for all of us, and we are taking that on. It's our home on
native land. I like that. We have a Canadian winner in the Hall of Fame. How
wild.
Cool.
I mean, wild. It gives me hope that soon you will be there, Cynthia.
My heart fluttered a little bit when I would hear RuPaul say Canada's Drag Race. Just seeing them say it, I was like, you know, it's real.
It made me think like, oh my God, did she like watch episode one? Has she seen my face? Did she see me get eliminated? No, probably not. But
I feel like she has.
I feel like RuPaul has watched season one, episode one.
Yes.
And been like, oh, that Juice girl should have really learned how to sew. What a fucking idiot. And then got really mad and said, she will never be on an All Stars, that dumbass.
But that Jimbo.
A star. He's a star.
I want her back once. I want her back twice. I want her to win.
I want her every time.
It's kind of surreal. It's so cool to see Jimbo on Good Morning America.
Wild.
Literally in New York with Suzanne Bartsch doing a party, viewing party finale. It's just like she has broken through an echelon of like drag culture all the way from Victoria on the island in BC. Like it is kind of mind blowing.
Yeah. It's not like she came from like a big, big city. She came from like this cute little island and this, you know.
And not to keep harping on it, but you literally did a season with her. So you've seen her since this like budding, you know, little star.
Yeah. I will always say it, the nicest, sweetest, most humble person in the room. Yeah. But also just uneccentric. I remember Tainomi. Can I say this? Yeah. I remember Tainomi was getting really annoyed with Jimbo.
like over her shit, like being too
just,
kooky.
She was so kooky. And I just remember Tainomi just being like,
I love Tainomi.
Tainomi was so tired and so fed up with being on Drag Race. And this was, mind you, I was there one episode. So this was one episode in. And I remember at one point Jimbo was laying in the middle. We had a recreation of the Oval Office, like the president's room, the Oval Office. We had a recreation of that as our like green room. And we were sitting in the Oval Office, freezing cold, mind you, just ice cubes.
Always a box of ice.
Absolutely freezing cold. And there's only a few little space heaters to keep us warm. So we're all sort of huddled around them. Like we're like softly shivering around these little heaters. And I remember at one point Jimbo put a blanket over his face and laid down in the middle of the carpet and just not like in the way of anyone because we were all sitting. And I just remember Tainomi just being so mad and just being like, what is he doing? Like, and just like looking at us like, and now they're like, now they like love each other. Like they deeply, deeply love each other. And she like grew to really get close to him. But I just remember in episode one, she would just couldn't understand Jimbo's kookiness. It was so funny to watch.
Aww. Well, that's the thing about Jimbo. They're polarizing. And I think that's exciting. It like breaks through the noise. It's like either you love it or you hate it. And it
gets the people going.
Gets them going. It's like sunflowers on a dress.
Do you know what I'm referencing?
Sorry, no. I just kind of yes-anded that.
Oh, it's Will Ferrell and Kanye
Step
West
Brothers?
Song.
Oh. Will Ferrell's in a Kanye West song?
I can't say the name of the song.
In Paris?
Yes.
Got it. Semi-qualified.
I can't say the name of the song.
We're not qualified to say that. We're just
no, we are not qualified to say the name of that song.
Juicy, are we gonna take a message from an SQ cutie this week?
I think we should. Yes.
Do we want to hear from? Is it Colin that we want to hear from?
Colin, sex god.
Colin, let's hear from you.
Hi, Cynthia. Hi, Juice. It's your boy Colin from New Westminster. Before I have my question, I want to preface this recording with a couple weeks ago, I recorded in and said I had a dream about doing drag and I didn't know what to do. And in my dream, I thought I needed to call you guys. And the conversation you guys had with each other was, did Colin have a dream that he had to call you guys when he woke up? And Juice said that, no, I didn't. But Cynthia was right. I did. in my dream think I need to make a voice recording for semi-qualified queens. So I just wanted to clear the air up there. Now, my real question is, this season, the deliberations between the queens, I guess, pleading their case is now in Untucked and not in the actual episode. So my question for you is, how do you guys feel about that? Usually I don't watch Untucked. Sometimes I do. It's really hard to find it in Canada. But I like it better when it's in the episode because it feels like the stakes are higher. You understand why the queen is sending the other queen home. But now you have to watch Untucked. So I just wanted to hear your opinion on that and if that's something that you guys like or don't like. Thanks, guys. Love you. Mwah.
Thank you, Colin. And also thank you for clearing that up because, again, we get things wrong.
I'm left feeling misinformed and ignorant because I don't watch Untucked.
Same. I fucking hate watching Untucked. And also, it's impossible to find in Canada.
So. It's really hard for us. So I actually, I eventually gave up. But I, this makes sense. I like the girls being like, please don't send me home, please.
I want it in the episode. I love it in the episode. I want to see them fighting with each other. Like, because we get those moments with like Katya and Alaska with her going, party. After Alaska begged her to keep her. Like
PayPal, $10,000. That's when you get those moments.
We get those moments and I want those moments and I don't want to have to look for them because I'm lazy and I don't want to watch Untucked because it's boring. Like, I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah, it's not enough of a beat to like have a whole episode. Like, we would just love it as part of, I feel like there's a way to stick it in there instead of some of the judges' feedback.
Oh my God, I could do without the judges' feedback most of the episodes. It's just
when
like,
they
okay,
don't
cool.
really judge. That's when I'm like, no. When it's just fluff, it's middle of the road. Like, that's what we do here on Semi-Qualified Queens.
Fluff, that's our job.
That's our thing.
Yeah, that's our
Come
thing.
Come on, judges.
Away from it.
Yeah, but that's, I don't know. I do kind of miss that aspect of All Stars. Yeah. You're right, Colin. And I love that we are in your dreams.
I love being in your dreams, Colin. Also, earlier when I said Colin, sex god, that is from Love Actually.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, it's when Colin decides to go to America so he could be a sex god because American girls like English accents. My parents love the movie Love Actually so much, they watch it once a month.
I remember you saying this. It's just like on all the time.
It's just on.
Yeah, and it's so like your dad pushing it all the time.
He loves it, so I just know parts of that movie that you shouldn't know.
I know. At first, I was like, how do you know he's a sex god? He's just called
no,
in.
It's Colin, sex god. Oh, no, that Colin. He might be a sex god. I'm not going to assume.
Hey. Who knows?
But speaking of sex gods, if you want to be a part of the conversation, you can always find us on Instagram at semiqualifiedqueenspod, on Twitter at sqqpod, or use the hashtag semiqualifiedquestions, or email us at semiqualifiedqueenspod@gmail.com.
Or kill it like Colin and record a voice memo at www.speakpipe.com/sqqpod.
Mm-hmm. We are going to be doing interviews now for the rest of the season until we get to Canada's Drag Race this year. So if you guys want to see anybody, if you want to hear anybody's voices, we already have a bunch of interviews lined up, but we want to see what's going on. We want to see what you guys want because we do this for you. So let us know who you want to see on the pod and we'll try to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if there's any Canadian queens that you think of. Like, not that we like purposely don't reach out to certain ones, but we want to keep the SQ cuties happy. And if there's someone that kind of bubbles to the top, let us know.
We will reach out. Right, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Nor.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.